Well, we're glad you're back today for another trip. We're having some exciting trips. In fact, reading all these articles makes you hungry for the food, isn't it, Lois?
Oh, my goodness. I'm hungry now, Doris.
You know,
I can't wait for lunch.
Egyptian, Italian, anything, right?
Anything.
Well, our article is on pages 18 and 19. And, Joe, don't you feel like you'd like to visit some of these places?
My travel bucket list has grown and grown as I've read this article.
You're getting ready. You want to take a trip all the time. And it's nice to do that when you have a little time off. And usually when I've gone there is either to speak at some conference or go with some singing group. But we always get time to go and eat the food and meet the people. Don't you think that's
important?
Right.
And I love to see the scenery of some of these cities we're talking about. The scenery is beautiful, and there are a few cities here that have great beaches, and if it's summertime there, you can get in for a nice dip.
Okay, you must be talking about Sydney.
Yeah,
because that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Sydney, and I have swam there.
At Manly
Beach.
And it's
wonderful, yes. Yep. And, you know, I was thinking of all the cities we're going to feature today. Almost every one of them has a public beach to go and enjoy the water.
What about London?
London, because we're on the river,
well,
right?
Not so good,
but you
yeah.
sure can get on boats in London.
And New York, sure. I don't think about swimming in New York.
No,
but there are lots of boats that you can enjoy.
There's lots of boats you can enjoy
yeah,
the water.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Right. Well, in Los Angeles, you can go to the beach.
That's
yeah.
right.
Right. Okay, well, let's find out more about these interesting places. Now, we've talked about... Which places have we talked about so far?
So far, we've had Toronto and Los Angeles.
But now, we're going to go across the world from Los Angeles, clear over to Asia, and the southern part down. We're going to get down to what continent?
We're getting down to the continent of Australia.
Australia.
Our only island continent in the world.
It's very big, though, isn't it?
It sure
is. It is so huge.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, have you been to Australia several times?
I have been there twice. Once time with just my husband, and one time my husband and I and our two children went.
Wow.
Oh, I've been to Australia several times, and there's the East Coast and the West Coast. And what parts do you like the best?
I stuck to Sydney and area.
You're on the East Coast.
Yeah,
right?
On the East Coast. And, when I heard we were talking about this travel article, but we were including Sydney, I was very excited because it doesn't seem that long ago that I was there.
Well, in Australia, a lot of people go down there to go scuba diving and go, you know, because they have all those great spots. And that's where I saw those great big, big whale sharks where they have their babies down there. And I went out scuba diving down there.
Wow.
That was really fun. But anyway, Sydney's a nice city, and you don't find the sharks in the city. But they're good places to scuba dive in Australia.
Yes.
So let's find out about them today. Let's read about Sydney first, because that's a very important city in the world.
Sydney. English-speaking visitors to Sydney won't have any trouble buying their tickets to the Opera House or ordering up some Aussie barbecue, as it's the predominant language used here. That said, it's not the only language you may overhear. Approximately 250 different dialects are spoken in this Australian city. This makes sense, given that 40% of the population was born overseas, from places like England, China, India, New Zealand, and Vietnam.
Well, Joe's getting interested in going to Sydney. Now, you see the photo here. What is the picture of?
Well, we have a beautiful picture of the Opera House, and I have been in there and toured it, and it just happened the night we were there. We went in, and an opera was finishing up, and we got to hear about the last 30 minutes of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Was a real highlight. They didn't push us out or anything,
Oh, my goodness.
It was terrific.
Oh, that is right on the waterfront there, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's such a different kind of structure, and everybody that goes down there wants to stand there and take pictures in front of the Opera House, don't they?
Right. It's such an iconic building. You
it
think
is.
Sydney, and you think this building.
That's right, what you
yes,
think of
and,
right off.
And
right?
You know, my husband's going there next week, and I'm jealous.
Oh, I
because
know.
I would like to go again.
Oh. You have to stay here and work.
I got to stay here and work.
Sorry.
But, you know, English-speaking visitors to Sydney, they won't have any trouble buying their tickets to the Opera House because, you know, they always make it available for
right.
foreigners visiting. And you can have some Aussie barbecue, Australian barbecue. But some of that barbecue sometimes now is not necessarily beef. You know what they use now? Kangaroo?
They use lamb
kangaroo.
A lot, too.
Yeah.
And
for a while, they started using kangaroo, and the kangaroos are so cute. I hate to eat them.
Oh, I don't think Australians think kangaroos are cute, though.
No, they're kind of rough. But
they think
and the little wallabies, which are
ones, the wallabies. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you go down there, you're
and
fine.
They, you're right, Doris. And they also eat ostrich burgers.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Yes.
Well, actually, Australia has beautiful birds too. Mm-hmm. I have seen beautiful birds down there. But when you go to Sydney, what you're going to see here, of course, is English, but it's Australian. Instead of Australia, they say Australian. They don't pronounce their vowels the same. So if you hear an Australian speaking mm-hmm. English, it's a little different than Westerners saying Australian,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
But you're going to have no problem if you've learned English or you're studying English. They're very welcoming. And
very friendly.
Just
right.
Listen a little bit better than you do, and I don't think you'll have any difficulty.
No, and because English is the predominant language, even though there's many different people there. Can you imagine that there are 250 different dialects spoken in the city there?
That is just amazing. And it's interesting because right now, Australia does some very good census, some statistics on who speaks what language and where. So you can actually go online and see the breakdown of the languages by area
yeah.
in Sydney.
And the interesting thing about Sydney, too, is you will probably, while you're there, meet some of their Aboriginal people.
Oh, yes.
So that's their native people. And they definitely have several dialects.
Oh, yes.
So that'll be interesting to listen to as well.
Right. Well, and the people that are living there, a lot of them were born overseas. And what countries were they born in?
Right. So you have a population with 40% of people born overseas from places like England, China, India, New Zealand, Vietnam. And that list, I'm sure, could just extend and extend
yes,
and extend.
Yes, that's true.
Well, and I was mentioning to you folks before we went on the air that I cannot believe how many Greek people have settled into Australia, more so in Melbourne, but there's lots in Sydney, and I had tremendous Greek food when I was there.
Well, and the people from Malta, which is over by Italy, many Maltese people go there. I'm surprised.
Wow.
I saw some quite a few when I was there, and they say they like to immigrate over there to Australia.
That's great.
To Australia.
Australia.
Right. And so it's a very, very interesting place. And there's so many places you could go in Australia. You could go to the Great Barrier Reef, if you want to, for scuba diving. Mm-hmm. Or you could go to Perth, which is on the west coast. Or if you want to see the killer whales, go to Exmouth. You go wherever you want to. There's so many things to see in Australia. Don't just stop at Sydney.
That's right.
Don't you think it's getting... like travel down to Australia?
I'm going to have to take vacation time. What are you guys doing to me?
That's right. It's not time for vacation yet. It's the middle of the year. But, you know, Australia is not that far away from Asia, and it is nice to take a trip. A lot of people go to Brisbane,
right.
And that's down there on the Gold Coast, and that's nice. But I think if you just go one place, you should definitely go to Sydney, don't you?
I think if there's just one place you can get to in Australia, I think Sydney, because you can get to a lot of other places if you rent a car like we did.
Right.
You just have to remember they drive on the same side as Hong Kong and England, okay?
And that's
so you
hard
have
for
to get used to their traffic circles too.
I think of this article, this is the only location in the Southern Hemisphere, is that correct?
That's correct.
Is there a recommended time to go to Sydney, to go to Australia?
I think you can go there almost any time.
Well, almost any time, but I will tell you, they definitely have cool winters, which is like there June, July, and August. So just be ready to have warm clothes with you because a lot of their homes don't have heat for the winter months.
So June, July, August.
Yes, is their winter.
If it's too hot in Asia, go down there.
Yes.
And be sure that you go out to some of their nature. They have these beautiful koala bears, and you can hold a koala bear and take a picture with them. And you can go out where the kangaroos are, and you can be right around with them. It's really fun.
And be sure to flush a clean toilet and watch the water go the opposite way.
Right.
It goes down the opposite way.
But, you know, they have a very interesting place to buy souvenirs. They call it the Rocks.
Yes, I like that.
And they have a lot of handicrafts that people carve, like the American Indians and the tribes people in Asia, a lot of carvings. And you can get a lot of good souvenirs there.
Exactly. And one pointer I will give our travelers, do not tell them they drive on the wrong side of the road. They do not like that.
Well, every time when you're over there and you start to get in the car, I always start to get on the wrong side, you know, because we're used to getting on the other side.
Yeah, right. Everything's opposite.
And they say, do you want to drive? Oh, no,
I don't want to drive.
Okay, well, let's switch on over now because Sydney reminds you there's a lot of people from London and from England there, too. And so we're going to go over to see about London, because you're going to hear a lot of British English in Australia. But let's hop over to London. That's a big city.
London. London, the capital and most populous city of England and the United Kingdom, offers a glimpse into the world by way of its ethnic diversity. Bangladeshi, Chinese, Germans, Ghanaians, Greeks, Jamaicans, Indians, and other non-indigenous groups are represented here. This gives way to plenty of different types of cuisines to try and neighborhood gems to discover. And although English is the official language spoken here, the streets are murmuring with hundreds of dialects. More than 300, to be exact.
Well, there's so much we could say about London. We could do the whole article about London because there's so many places to go. And I always think about theater. They have beautiful, beautiful theater and shows here, don't they?
Right. Beautiful live theater. When I was there just about 4 years ago, my husband and I and my sister went to see Mousetrap.
Oh,
and
yes.
That was a really fun live theater to see.
It is
and,
fun,
You know, oftentimes you can get really good discount tickets the day of or even just a couple of hours before the play starts.
Wow. Right.
There's so many things you can do in London. And it says it's the most populous city of England and the UK, United Kingdom. And they have a lot of this ethnic diversity there, don't they?
Right. They also have many different groups. And in England's whole history, London in particular, just has attracted so many people to that center and changed its culture, its food. Just everything about London is so affected by its cultural diversity.
Well, talking about food, usually London is not known, or England is not known for their food. They do eat a lot of lamb, but they mostly eat fish and chips for fun, and you can, you know, that's well known there. But now they have all these people going from Bangladesh and from Jamaicans, and they have restaurants. So the people in London have changed now, but they have a lot of Chinese restaurants
right.
too.
Right, and the interesting thing about London is maybe parts of other parts in the UK don't have such great food, but the city of London has great food.
Well, they have every kind of food.
And they have every kind of food. And one of the things I would love to recommend for our readers, and it's been on the news recently, is to get a chance to go to Borough Market. If you go to Borough Market, you can buy your own fresh food to make, maybe if you're having a bed and breakfast or whatever to stay at, but they have great food just to eat there at reasonable prices, and I think it's my best bought sandwich in my life was in Borough Market.
Right.
And
well,
the food
so
is so fresh.
Right.
They bring so many things.
But if you go to Hatfield House in London, Hatfield House has somebody that comes in that looks like the Queen. They're all dressed up like Queen Mary the First. And then they can sit at the table and they serve you all this food and you pound on the table.
Wow.
Oh, it's really fun. Hatfield House.
That sounds amazing.
Oh,
yeah.
There's so many places to go there. But this gives way to different kinds of food, and it says gives way to, this is in line 31, that just means it makes it possible.
Right.
It gives us the way to have
it.
Many different kinds of food.
And different types of cuisine from all over the world there.
That's true.
There's this joke that without immigrants and without being a part of Europe, you know, England, London's food would literally just be high tea and fish and chips.
They don't have too much of their own.
But, you know,
maybe they have potatoes, too.
Yeah, maybe that's why the British at one time, they said the sun never set on the British Empire.
Right.
So they got all the people from all over the world coming eventually to their island.
They really wanted better food.
but it says here that English is the official language, but there is lots of dialects, more than 300 to be exact. Now, even in England, they have the Cockney and they have different dialects. And sometimes I was talking to some people who all were from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how do you understand each other? And they said sometimes they can hardly understand each other because they speak with different accents.
Exactly. So that's why you'll often hear the term,
the Scottish,
I speak with the Queen's English.
English.
The
right.
reason is they want that accent because they think it's clearer, easier to understand.
There's Cockney, which is not clear, and there's Scottish, and Irish, and all kinds of
And Essex County and Sussex County, everybody sounds so different.
But it is fun, and you've got to have high tea when you go there. And high tea is more like we would have supper. It's usually at 4 or 5 in the afternoon, and then they eat at 7 or 8 at night.
So, yes.
And of course, you don't drink coffee there. You drink tea.
Yeah, and I'm sure Doris has done this, too. I was in the small city, I think it would be a small city or town of York, and my sister and I went for high tea, and it was delightful.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Tell you, it really is a meal because you get sandwiches, and you get desserts, and it's just terrific.
Even the shopping malls have high tea places, and they're all good.
Or as they would say, it's brilliant.
You're going to get hungry, Lois. We got to go to the next city here. But now we're going to jump from England and London, and we're going to go clear over to New York City.
We're going to cross
and
the pond.
Everybody in the world has heard about New York City, good and bad. But let's talk about it and find out what we can see there.
New York City. The five boroughs that make up New York City shelter one of the biggest melting pots in the world. More than one-third of the city's residents were born outside of the U.S. Countries like the Dominican Republic, India, China, Jamaica, Mexico, Italy, and Haiti all have a great presence here. This blend of backgrounds is evident in the wide-ranging cuisines offered throughout the city. Italian, Greek, and Indian, and many, many more. The languages, more than 800 are spoken here, and cultural festivals. The Feast of San Gennaro in Little Italy, to name one.
Well, New York City, Joe, have you been there?
I have been to New
York
City.
Oh, good. We'll let you talk about that.
No, I just love going there. And for me, you know, I was always interested in learning Chinese or Cantonese Chinese culture. So I would go straight to New York Chinatown, just hang out there and spend the day looking at museums and all these different things.
Well, you can go to Los Angeles Chinatown.
That's right. But I'm from Virginia. New York's much closer.
That's right. When you're from Toronto, you go to New York City, too, because it's easy to get to.
But, you know, there's some words here that kind of reminds me of British words, the five boroughs. We don't have boroughs. That's only on the East Coast.
Yeah,
it's actually very special for New York City because a borough is just sort of like our city districts. And actually,
we call it five districts. That's what I would
say. Right. Places like Manhattan and Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And these boroughs, they actually used to be self-governing areas, and the laws and tax code would be different. And it was like that until the 1980s.
No, so that's kind of a British thing, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah, we had the same term in Toronto, boroughs.
It's British.
Then New York led the way, and then we followed.
Yeah, it's British.
Yeah.
Okay. So it really just means districts then, right? But it says it's one of the biggest melting pots in the world, and that's probably true.
The joke I've heard about New Yorkers is that you'll run into someone in New York and you'll say, oh, you know, are you from the United States? And they say, no, I'm not from the United States. I'm from New York.
It sounds like California to me. But anyway, it is a big melting pot, and more than one-third of the residents were born outside of the U.S.
Yes.
What countries?
So it says here we have countries like the Dominican Republic, India, China, Jamaica, Mexico, Italy, and Haiti. And some people might be looking at that list and go, oh, look at those countries. Well, see, we have some countries like Dominican Republic and Jamaica, Haiti, and also the east side of Mexico is all kind of in the Caribbean.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's very easy for them to get to New York City.
That's true,
because
yeah.
there's so many direct flights from those parts of the world to New York City.
But, you know, many years ago, people that left Ireland in those times when they had a hard time, they would go over to New York.
Right.
That was the first place they could land from
right.
there.
Right.
And so there's all kinds of people, Italian, Greek, and Indians. But you know how many languages are spoken there?
There are so many languages, more than 800 languages spoken there.
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine that? And then they have all these cultural festivals that they have there. All
yes,
kinds
they do.
Of them.
They yeah. really do. And the interesting thing I like about New York City is I call them hole-in-the-wall restaurants, meaning that they're usually run, they'll say mom or pop restaurants, mm-hmm. and they're smaller, but the food is very reasonably priced because in New York City you have very expensive restaurants. But then you have these ethnic restaurants run by a family that are very affordable.
Notice Lola likes to talk about the food.
Food.
Yeah, she
now,
does.
Something interesting about New York City is their public holidays are different from other places in the United States.
Oh, really?
They take more Jewish holidays off in New York City.
Yeah, they have a lot of Jewish people living in New York. And of course, you know, in Hollywood is near, of course, in the over there in Los Angeles. Yeah. But they have Broadway. And everything is, Broadway is the big, beautiful shows that they have.
Just in like New York City, Broadway.
Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah.
Broadway is very well known
yes,
there.
Yes, sure
People
is.
People want to get on Broadway.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to have to hurry over to Singapore so we have time for it today. Let's not forget Singapore. It's a lot smaller than New York City, but let's read about Singapore.
Back on the plane.
Singapore. Singapore might be small in stature, but it packs in a lot of diversity. The Southeast Asian destination boasts four official languages: English, Malay, Mandarin, and Tamil. And approximately 40% of its population was born abroad. Although the majority of its residents are of Chinese descent, many are also of Malay, Indian, and Eurasian origins, giving way to an eclectic and tasty food scene.
Well, what can we say about Singapore? Everybody in Asia knows about Singapore. It's known for being so clean and so different. And it used to belong to England, didn't it? Singapore?
Yes, yeah. It was loyal to the British throne.
That's right.
They still belong at a certain degree mm-hmm. and level to the British Commonwealth. And there's always been a very close relationship between Singapore and the UK.
Wow. Right. And, you know, Singapore might be called small in stature, in size. It's not very big in a way, but it packs in. It means it's full of a lot of diversity. You see people that are these chic people that are the people who wear
the
big turbans
yes,
on their head.
Yeah, the Sikhs,
They're
yeah.
from India and stuff. Well, who else can you find there?
You can find all sorts of people. You know, you can find people that are Malaysian. You can find Chinese people. You can find all sorts of individuals there. There's just so much diversity in that one area.
Well, how many people from there were born in other countries?
Well, it says 40% of its population was born abroad. And that's really interesting. And, you know, when we talk about languages there and it says English, it actually has a fair number of people that settle in Singapore from England because
yes.
they've been expatriates.
Yes.
They've worked there for decades
right.
and
they
now they
it.
Want
mm-hmm.
to stay there.
It's a nice place, right? Yeah. But there's a lot of Chinese there, too, because the majority of the residents are from Chinese background, Chinese descent. You know, they say, I'm Singaporean Chinese.
Yeah.
And there's Hong Kong Chinese. There's different kinds of Chinese, different kind. But there are also a lot of people that are from Malaysia,
right. Malayan people.
And Indians.
And Eurasians.
Now, who are Eurasians? Eurasians are people who are Europeans who've married Chinese or other people. We call them Eurasians, Europe and Asia, mixtures, Eurasians.
Mm. Right, and I've also found that you also meet some people in Singapore, once again, too, from Sri Lanka.
That's true.
So it has a lot of diversity.
And Lois, don't forget they have the eclectic, tasty food.
There we go. There's your food.
There's the food again, and there's that word eclectic. And you know, we have that in our vocabulary focus because a lot of people don't know how to use that word. And it says methods, beliefs, ideas, etc., that are eclectic. And it says combine whatever seem the best or most useful things from many different areas or systems rather than following a single system. So they're just doing things very differently.
Right. You know, in a sort of synonym, talking about hodgepodge, right? Things that are sort of just put together. So we often say someone can have an eclectic taste in music.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. And some people, like in Singapore, because of all these different nationalities, they might have an eclectic taste in eating.
Oh, that's true. Well, you know, we've been talking about all these places, but we've got another day coming up, and we're going to talk about how to stay healthy when you travel. Now, this being healthy is not necessarily all about the food, but there are some things that we have to be careful of wherever we go. So come back tomorrow, and we're going to continue on traveling, but find out how to stay healthy. So be sure and be here. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.